Official Kozlovsky and family, in commemoration of the Artzeit de Shabbos Rabbi Chaim Gevatman, Rabbi Chaim Friedel Ben Rabbi Yitzhak Dov, Yochanan Lebrach, founding Rav of Suburban Orthodox Congregation. After his passing, Rabbi Gevatman's name was memorialized and became part of the shul's essence. With the addition of Torah's Chaim to the shul's name, we are learning week and aliyah for his neshama.
Amen.
David and Alana Bondi, welcome back. In honor of their newborn, Ataya Chaim, turning 1 month old, and their gratitude to Hashem for bringing them to this moment, also to the wonderful Kehila and Rav Silber for surrounding them with so much love, achdus, and holiness. And a couple more, Eliyahu and Devorah Ramanfar, in honor of the Rav for his incredible shurim, all of the insights and life lessons. Ravalda Dafyomi, Siyamin, for Mesecha Menachos, for the safety and security of all the IDF soldiers who are battling evil.
Amen, amen.
And Scott, Melissa, and Ari Gordon, in honor of their mother and grandmother's 100th Hebrew birthday.
Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. I want to say again a tremendous shkach to all of our sponsors. A thank you for all the generosity to everyone. A special shkach to Steve Baruch Hashem for always coordinating. Although there were no gifs this week, we didn't need any. Baruch Hashem. Okay, good. I was. Is it a gif or gift? It's a gift. What's the minhag ha'olam?
The youngins.
What are the millennials?
Gif.
GIF.
GIF, right. But it's a graphic animated image. It's a G. It's a hard G, so
it
really should be GIF.
And you have that.
Got it. It's discussed in the belt.
Then you have that.
You know what? Let's do that tonight. Let's just focus on that. I think, you know, okay, we're just going to talk about images. All right, good. Let's say shkach to everyone. And again, a great schos baruch Hashem, Pesach Sheni. Beautiful day for second chances. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, the close of the week. Maseches, Menachos, you feel like, I don't know, so many incredible things happening in the world tonight. I'm sorry, Elul around the corner, almost Yomim Noraim. Tomorrow, again, even if you're not part of the daf, I highly advise coming to Shir. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous tomorrow what's going to be happening. And Maseches, Menachos, Chonyo, and Shimon HaTzadik. Yeah, it's going to be incredible. But first, the Rebbe is going to prepare us. The Rebbe always prepares us. So we are picking up tonight in Parak Dalet. Last week we started, I should say we restarted Parak Dalet, because we started Parak Dalet a couple of weeks ago, then we restarted again last week. So remember again, the Rebbe is teaching us the idea that in order to become an inspired Jew, in order to become a Chassid, I have to feel emotion. I have to be in touch with my emotions. And that's one of the hardest things that I've said, because at the end of the day, the great challenge is we're often walled off from ourselves. We don't really know ourselves. We spoke about this idea that consciously, subconsciously, we're often running from ourselves, right? That's why, again, we don't like quiet. We don't like alone time. We like to be distracted, because deep down there's a part of me that knows that I don't really know me. And because I don't really know me, of course, it's hard for me to be in touch with my emotional side if I don't really know who I am. So we're picking up on page Chavtes in the paragraph that says, Ubisvarim. So both say, the Rebbe is really going to teach us an incredible Torah tonight. It says as follows, Ubisvarim Kedoshim Isa. And remember, Svarim Kedoshim just refers to Hasidic literature. So remember, I want to point out, if you notice, we've been learning the PhDs now for how many years?
We started at the end of 21 with the Chalban.
A couple of years. So if you notice, by the style of the Piagetsna, is that the Rebbe really doesn't give citations. Right? If you notice, again, he doesn't like a lot of Svarim you'll learn, like even when we learn Reb Tzadik. And it's Yitzchak Tzadik, when the Rebbe quotes something, when Reb Tzadik quotes something, he'll often tell you, you know, where it is. If you notice, in the Piagetsna style, he doesn't really do that. What he'll do is, he'll quote Svarim HaKedoshim. What's Svarim HaKedoshim? General Svarim Hasidic literature. And again, so it's important to understand that part of that is by design. Right? Because so much of what the Rebbe highlights is, or what the Rebbe reinforces, is this concept of Emunah Pshuta. Of just simple faith, right? Remember again, I was saying Tzav Zeros, the Rebbe said, I turned 40. Remember this mimer that we learned, that I said, I turned 40. I'm thinking now, again, I turned a major corner in my life. I'm trying to figure out, like, what should I do with myself? Like, what should be my life? Remember, we saw this tremendous passage, right? The Rebbe said, you know, should I daven with more kavana? I already daven with a lot of kavana. Should I learn more Torah? It's incredible. He said, I already learned a lot of Torah. So what should I do? Like, what's my avodah now that I've turned 40? And the Rebbe says, my avodah is to be a pashat yid. I just realized that my goal ultimately is that I want to be a simple Jew. which is like an incredible thing. And so much of what the Rebbe teaches us is that greatness, let's say, greatness is not found in complexity. Greatness is found in simplicity. That's a bumper sticker. Greatness is not found in complexity. Greatness is found in simplicity. Sometimes the simpler we make ourselves, and the simpler we make life, and the simpler we just take an approach to things, the easier it is to find that Kaddish Baruch Hu, the easier it is to find Kiddusha, the easier it is to find ourselves. So Rebbe says, there are extra sheets. Are there extra sheets? Yeah, good. If anyone needs coffee, good. If anyone needs, good. It says Ubisfarim Kedoshim Isa. So in Hasidic literature, it's written Sheyesh Lefamim Shenefesh Esi Yisraeli Mispaelas Becharata Shuva Hachnoa Yira Uchedome. Supposed to say, listen to this. So it's common. Remember, we're speaking about emotion. So it's common that sometimes a person will find themselves seized by a certain level of emotion. For example, Charata, remorse; Shuva, repentance; Hachnoa, humility; Yira, fear. So a person experiences this gamut of emotions. Va'ish mismargish bekirbo, is a rachash ve'in ne'imos bekirbo, v'lo yoda ma lo. So Rebbe is saying, this is so incredible. Rebbe is describing, sometimes a person experiences emotion and he doesn't know what it is. What is it exactly that I'm experiencing? What is it exactly that I'm feeling? So Rebbe said that this is incredible. So watch what happens. And Rebbe will say, when you begin to think about this, you're going to realize like this happens to us all of the time. So I feel something like, I'm going to use the word off. But when I mean off, I don't necessarily mean it in like a negative way. Something's different. And I'm saying, like, you ever wake up in the morning and you just feel different? I don't mean that you were out drinking the night before, you young people, right? I don't mean that. Because, you know, I'm looking at 25 minutes, right? You know why I'm looking at you. Right? So let's say, you ever had, like, you wake up in the morning and you're like, just in the middle of the day, something's different. Something's different. And you feel that, and what ends up happening? Now, both say, now watch what occurs. So, look what we do. What do we say? Oh, I'm feeling off. So, what do we think? The yachshov shera'evu. Oh, you know what? It must be that I'm hangry, right? I'm hangry, right? I haven't eaten today, right? I didn't have a good lunch, so I'm off. Tsame, right? I must not be hydrated. Otsarech lima'at yayin sraf urikikin. This is a common one. Or I need a lechaim, right? I need a lechaim in some mazonos, right? Something's off. I need a lechaim in some... Rikikim literally means wafers, right? But not lechaim like the other... No, like a piece of kechol, right? I need some mazonos, a piece of kokosh, you know? Something's off. Supposedly, isn't this incredible? Right? So I feel something's off. I must be hungry. Or I must feel a little dehydrated. Or I need to make a lechaim. Oh, shemin mar shchora achso. Or just in a bad mood. I just, you know, sometimes a person gets depressed. I don't mean like in the clinical sense. I mean just it's like a person just gets depressed. I'm just in a funk. So what happens? So I'm say, so now what do you do in those moments? So now, again, this is incredible. If I relegate it, so now I'm feeling something is stirring inside of me. So if I relegate it to hunger or to thirst, so what do I do?
Fix it,
right? Eat something, drink something, make a lechaim. And if it's mara shchora, if it's just that I'm in a bad mood, so what do? Ukedei levadech es atzmo misocheachu im b'nei beso. So what do you do if you're in a bad mood? What do you do? Right? Shmuz, right? Shmuz with your friends. I will say, or again, bischok v'sichasad. Or what happens? So what do? Generally, it's fascinating. What do people do to bring themselves in a bad mood? You engage in frivolity, right? Frivolikite, right? You just engage in like, I'm in a bad mood. So what's the antidote to a bad mood, right? Just have fun. I say, this is incredible. I was just on a flight. I was on a flight the other day. And I was sitting across from this young couple. And like the young woman was like literally like cracking up the entire flight. I'm like, what? So first of all, she's not talking to her husband. Like, you know, he's on his phone. She's on her phone. And literally, again, it was a short flight, an hour flight. The entire time, I don't know, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, whatever it is, video after video after video after video after video after, you get the point, right? And literally, again, so it was like an hour and a half. But like, it was just like fascinating to me. Like, like the man of shach. And again, if you're watching a movie, okay, you know, you've committed to something, right? I'm watching a movie, right? Hopefully it's kosher, right? But I'm involved in a construct of entertainment, right? But this notion of like, the world has become just one big distraction. It's one short after another clip after another clip. And literally, again, it's just distraction. So the Rebbe says in Abosai, this is what I always say, you think, everybody like thinks, oh, with the technology, we have it like no one else. It's not true. People are people. And people always did the same thing, which was we distract ourselves when something's off, right? So I feel a little sad. What do? So, okay, so today you can watch a clip, right? You can watch a clip. You can watch, I don't know, someone doing whatever, right? So what are they doing, Piaget? If you're in a bad mood, I don't know, right? Whatever. It was a very limited choice. But let me say, what you did is you schmoozed with guys in the coffee room. Whatever you did, right? You just, whatever, I don't know. There was a hack. There's always a hack, right? There's always a hack. There's always a way to distract yourself from life. So what ends up happening, every time my inner equilibrium is like a little bit off, right? If I'm hungry, right? If it's off, maybe I must be hungry. I must be thirsty. I must need a l'chaim. I'm sad. So what can I do to lift my spirits? So I'll involve myself just in some type of frivolity. And again, I'm saying, I want to point out over here, nothing usur. I'm not talking about anything like illicit or anything bad. That's not what the PA, we're not talking about sin. Sin, there's no sinful behavior over here. But look what he says. B'schok, v'sichas yilodim. So what do? I feel a little depressed. So I engage again in almost like childish stuff, just foolishness. Now again, we both say it's not foolishness for the sake of foolishness. Why am I engaging in the foolishness? Why? Yes. To lift my spirits. Lift my spirits. He says, "Oh, shaholech el chavero v'sochech alivadech es daito b'lashin hara." Okay, so this is a bit more extreme, right? Or good gossip. Nothing lifts the spirits like a good shteik lashon hara, right? You hear something juicy about someone else, you forget all your problems, right? And suddenly you feel great because you just pushed someone else down. Okay, so this is now, he's entered into sinful behavior. Late sonus. Or you just engage in mockery, just foolishness. Again, silliness. And again, I want to point out, why? It's not, I'm not looking for lashon hara. I'm not looking for late sonus. I'm not looking for silliness. But again, I feel like there's something off inside of me, right? There's something off inside of me. So how do I rectify the piece that's off, the sadness, the mara shchora? Let me engage in some type of frivolous entertainment in order to lift myself. He says, "Lufamim gam achar kol ha'ilam ha'masim asher osa margish es ihani imas bekir ba'od." And sometimes, even after you've watched everything on Instagram, you still feel a little bit down. Right? And even after you spoke every single juicy piece of Lashon Hara, you still feel a little bit down. Kevan shebetrufos of elu hamilkul kolos. What? Now, why is that? It's very simple. Because the remedy doesn't address the problem. Because at the end of the day, even when you listen to this Lashon Hara, Kevan betrufos of elu hamilkul kolos, with all of these flawed remedies, not only have I not remedied the wounds of my heart, because not only did the remedies that I am employing not work for whatever is broken inside of me, but in fact, what? It just made everything profoundly worse. Aval, now I will say, now again, because what's happening over here? Aval yishkam she'achar masei tatuim elu, rafa lo rucha v'kirbo nishkat, mipnei sheba'akos negifos u'pitzam asher osev masov elu l'nafsho, nis'alfa. Listen to this, I will say, this is incredible. But you know what's interesting? So I will say, so just to understand what's happening over here. This is a continuation of the previous piece. The Rebbe says, what's the greatest problem we have? Really, hands down, I will say, this is such a different way to think. When you ask generally a Jew, what's the greatest? You ask a Jew, what's the greatest problem you have? Yeah, so Jew, what is a Jew going to answer? What is he going to answer? What? Yetzer hara. Yetzirah, right? That's what a yid is only going to always going to answer, right? And what happens? See, children understand things in a way that adults do not understand, right? Which is something amazing. In other words, generally, you ask me my problem is, whatever avera I'm struggling with, that's what I'm going to tell you. I mean, I'm not going to tell you, but that's what I'll answer to myself, right? When somebody to ask you, think about what is your greatest problem in life. By definition, I'm going to gravitate towards the avera that I struggle with most, which makes a lot of sense. Remember, again, we're learning Belvavi in the morning, right? The Belvani, right? And we recorded the Arizal. The Arizal said the thing you struggle most is the very thing for which your soul came down to the world to rectify. So it makes a lot of sense. But the Rebbe says something different over here. He says over here that really the greatest problem I have is I'm not in touch with myself. I don't really know me. And the reason I don't know me is because as soon as there's some movement inside of me, there's like a mad dash to rectify it, to still it, to calm it, but in all the wrong ways. So I feel a little bit off. Oh, I must be hungry. I feel a little bit off. I need a l'chaim. I must be thirsty. I feel sad. What could I do? Like temporary fix. What could I do to lift my spirits, right? Some type of just immediate remedy that usually could be silly, frivolous, and potentially even sinful. Now the Rebbe says, here's what's interesting. But sometimes it works, right? Sometimes after you employ these remedies, you actually do feel better. So the Rebbe says, why is that? And the Rebbe says, this is incredible. He says, I'll tell you why. Because sometimes when you throw, and the Rebbe says, you know what it's like? Imagine for a moment you have a really bad case of the flu, right? Chas v'shalom, very bad case of the flu. And you decide, you know, I've had enough. And you drink a bottle of NyQuil, right? What's going to happen?
Die.
No, I don't think you'll die. I don't think you die. Well, no, a little too extreme, right? Half a bottle of NyQuil, right? A quarter of a bottle of NyQuil, right? Whatever, a lot of NyQuil. We'll say, what's going to happen? You're going to sleep. Now, again, so what happens? So let's say, again, I do this. My wife walks in the room. I'm sleeping. She looks at me. What is she going to say? Oh yeah, she will say get up, right? That's true. But I'm saying, somebody not besides my wife, right? Somebody sees me then sleeping. What is a person going to assume now is happening?
He's resting.
Baruch Hashem, it feels better. Sleeping like a baby. Look how great he looks, right? Everything must be fine, right? I'm restful, I'm peaceful, right? A glow, finally. Meanwhile, it's not true. Just what did I do? I knocked myself out. I numbed the pain. And I numbed it to a degree, by the way, that for whatever, the next couple of hours, nothing's happening with the flu. Nothing's happening with the flu. So externally, and even internally, right? Even myself, I'm asleep, right? I'm out. But essentially what I've done is, I've buried the flu, right? The flu is there. The flu is not being treated. The flu is right there. It's just that I drowned it in some NyQuil. And when you drown it in some NyQuil, at least episodically, the flu is quiet. The flu is quote-unquote gone. But really, it's just dormant. So the Rebbe says that sometimes when we self-medicate with all the wrong things in life, at a certain point in time, you just bury the neshama. You bury it. And he says something amazing. He says, this alpha, the neshama almost goes like into sleep mode. Otile afar va'ashba hitel ba'zeh aleha, or sometimes you pile so much schmutz on top of the neshama, ad shelegamrei nistera, until the neshama is absolutely hidden. Va'af nehima kala mimena elav lo yaniach v'noach lo. And you drown out the voice of the neshama. So Rabbi say this is very scary. So in other words, I want to point out what the Rebbe is describing over here. We all do this. All of us do this in different ways. Something's off inside of me. What do I need to do to get back my equilibrium? What do I need to do back? And so what we do is, again, we turn to all the wrong things. We turn to all the wrong things. And it's about, but it works. It doesn't work. Just what I've done is I've buried the neshama beneath all of the other stuff. And at a certain point, put enough layers on top of your neshama. And what happens? You know what I'm saying? By the way, just the extreme example of this. The extreme example of this, right? And again, what's the extreme of this? Rahmana Litzlan, someone suffers from trauma in life. And what do? They turn to alcohol. They turn to drugs. So when they consume the copious amounts of alcohol or drugs in that moment, how are they feeling?
Good.
Great, right? Great. And in that moment, everything's, meanwhile, again, but the outside is, you don't feel great. You feel terrible. It's just what you've done is you've buried the pain underneath layers of drugs and alcohol. So the Rebbe just says, we do the same thing. It's just, it could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be social media, it could be food, it could be drink, it could be lashon hara, it could be whatever you want. But at the end of the day, we feel that something's not right. I want to address it, but I address it in all the wrong ways. So I seek to soothe a troubled soul. But instead of listening, soul, what's bothering you? Soul, what's not working? Soul, why do you feel in such a state of distress? What's happening? Instead of getting to know myself and really understanding, why am I in this state? Why don't I feel myself? Why do I feel like things are out of order? Why do I feel this angst? Why do I feel this pit in my kishkas? What is this? Instead of taking the time to try to figure out what it is and then addressing it at a core in the Shema level, I just medicate it, however I medicate it. And if you medicate it enough, what ends up happening is you can no longer hear the Neshama. So now, I think everything's fine, right? So now I think everything's fine because I no longer hear the neshama. I don't hear anything anymore. Meanwhile, it's not fine. I've just buried the neshama. Like sometimes victims of trauma bury the trauma underneath layers of other stuff. I bury my stuff underneath layers of stuff as well, to the point that I no longer hear my neshama at all. Incredible. Shabbosai, so the Rebbe goes on, he says, V'lo rak es yilalos uginichos hanefesh bilbad ha'ish mazniach l'shma. I'm in the last paragraph on page Chavtas. V'lo rak es yilalos uginichos hanefesh bilbad ha'ish mazniach l'shma o shomea osa mefuchamos umu'ukalos v'lo yada ma'ashashama. Shabbosai, it's not only, by the way, like the distress of the neshama that I don't hear, right? Like, in other words, in the previous paragraph, what the Rebbe is describing over here is this idea that the neshama is in distress, but instead I just think I'm hungry. They both say, by the way, you guys like how crazy that is? I think I'm just hangry, right? And meanwhile, what my neshama is saying is I'm not in a good place. Now, by the way, sometimes I'm just hangry, right? I want to be clear, right? Sometimes you're just hungry. Sometimes you just need a piece of kichel and a l'chaim, right? Sometimes it doesn't have to be more than that, but sometimes it is more than that. And if you don't take the time to figure that out, then the Rebbe says you'll never hear. It's like the neshama dispatching an SOS signal, and it's like, no one's home. No one's home. The Rebbe says we go through life, the neshama crying out, I need some attention. I need a course correction. I need to figure this out. And meanwhile, again, I'm just self-medicating with whatever my NyQuil of the day is, just to numb the pain and not to hear and not to understand anything. So the Rebbe says, but by the way, it's important, Bosai. It's not just by pain. And this is incredibly important. It's not just by pain. He says, listen to this. Rak gam et sahaloseh v'simchoseh asher smichehi b'Hashem lo yagish. You also don't hear when the neshama is happy, right? This is not just about the neshama being in a state of distress. Sometimes the neshama is so filled with such spiritual joy, and I don't hear it. And I'm not getting the message. He says, oh yargish. I will say, now what does that mean?
Where does that spiritual joy come from?
I'm sorry? It could come from anything. It could come from davening. It could come from learning. It could come from whatever. It could come just from...
Correct.
So the neshama is in this state of existential joy. But because, again, I'm so out of touch with myself, I don't get it. Now, again, I could feel like in a good mood, but I'm totally not associating it with, and I will say, you know, again, this happens to us all the time, right? If we were in touch, well, let's finish up. He says, "O yargish eze his ragshus, velo yoda mahu margish." Same idea. I feel some sense of regesh, some sense of positive emotion, but I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Ki lu hirgish ha'ish esimchasa ba'ashem. Because I will say, if a person felt the true simcha that comes from a closeness to Hashem, the simcha that the neshama itself experiences, ve'es noam al yosa bi'ava v'yira b'shashu miskarev elav yisparach b'torah, because if a person allowed himself to feel the true joy, the true sense of spiritual elation that only comes from when you're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tefillah v'asiyas ha-mitzvos, Sayyid Abba said, this is incredible, this is incredibly important. Every single time I learn, my neshama is literally doing spiritual backflips. But I will say, I want to tell you what's the problem. And by the way, this is my sin b'chol yom. So right, I'm learning. I'm in shame learning, and my neshama is doing spiritual backflips. And what am I doing? What am I doing? Right, I'm checking my email. Right, or whatever, my watch, or I'm counting ceiling tiles, or I'm whatever it is. So meanwhile, the neshama was like, this is absolutely fantastic. And meanwhile, again, my guf is busy doing something else. So because my guf is doing something else, therefore, by definition, it's totally disconnected from the joy that the neshama is experiencing. The joy that a soul experiences every time a yid davens. And by the way, I want to point out, that's whether you're davening with kavana or you're not davening with kavana. That's whether you're davening with a minyan or you're davening at home. Everybody should be davening with a minyan, right? But again, whatever you're doing, you do a mitzvah, you do a chesed, whatever you're doing, the neshama is doing spiritual backflips. And the only reason I'm not feeling it is because I'm not connected. Usually because I'm doing something else. So I'll say, you know, this is the whole chap of living distracted lives. When you're not present in the moment, you don't experience what the neshama is experiencing. That's the whole chap. You see, I'll say, can I tell you something? Do you know, like sometimes, like when kids are little, you know, we start off, what happens? They're learning Gemara, a kid gets distracted. So sometimes, what are you, right? The Rebbe says, right? The Rebbe says, where are we, right? As if somehow embarrassing a kid is somehow going to make them love Torah, right? Somehow, right? Or making them feel poorly about themselves and say, oh, this is the best thing ever, right? But like, if we only learn from when we were young, that if you're present, you will actually feel the geschmack in this. When you don't feel a gishmak, when you don't feel something exciting in your learning and your davening, it's only because you're not really there, right? You're physically there, but you're somewhere else. So whenever you're somewhere else, you ever say, you want to do something amazing? I'm going to tell you something. Even if you don't want to, I'm going to tell you something amazing. The Pasuk says, by Adam Arishon, that... Vayikach es ha'adam. The Pasuk says that Hashem took Adam HaRishon vayanicheu began Eden, and he put him in Gan Eden, right? If you look at Rashi HaKadosh on that Pasuk, so first of all, what does it mean Hashem took Adam and he put him in Gan Eden? So if you look at Rashi HaKadosh says, what does it mean Vayikach es ha'adam? Lakcho bedvarim. He took him with words. Meaning that Hashem said to Adam, he said, Adam, I have this place called Gan Eden. It's absolutely incredible. It's beautiful. I want you to come. Do you want to come? And Adam Rishon said, yes. Hashem Baruch Hu said, come, take my hand, I'm going to show you the way. Asks the Maharal in Gur Aryeh, what? You're God. If you want something done, what do you need to do? What do you need to do if you're God? Right? Right? Or just say it. Adam, come here. Right? Come here. Let's go. Gan Eden. Let's go. So the Maharal and Rav Kook says the same idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood that he could order Adam physically to go into Gan Eden. But just because your body is in Gan Eden doesn't mean your mind is there. Hashem wanted Adam to be present in Gan Eden. How do you get Adam to be present in Gan Eden? And there's only one way. If Adam has buy-in. If you have buy-in, Adam, you want to come to Gan Eden? Well, let me hear about it. What's in it for me? Right? What are the options? Right? Is Lakewood on the table? You know, like where else? Like, you know, what else could I do? Where else could I go? So after Hashem Baruch Hu tells him a little bit about Gan Eden, I was like, okay, I'll go. Lakcho bedvarim. Because Hashem Baruch Hu was teaching us from the beginning that if you're not present in whatever it is that you're doing, according to this, Rav Kook says, when you work, when you learn, when you daven, whatever you're doing in life, be present. Because if you're not present, you will never absorb the totality of the experience. So the Rebbe says something amazing. Do you know why I'm not generally in touch with my neshama? Because I'm not present. Because I'm learning, and even when I'm learning, I will say, when was the last time you went ahead and you learned uninterrupted? Uninterrupted. I sat down for a shiur, whatever it is, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, and I did nothing else but be present in the shiur. I don't know why I give shiur. I don't know when the last time I did that. I'm just saying, it's the most difficult thing to be present. But just understand, if you're not present, that's where the misalignment between me and my soul comes from. Because I'm engaged in spiritual activity, and my soul's like, this is the best thing in the world. I mean, not a direct quote, but you understand, right? This is incredible. Spiritual backflips, nothing better, right? And the neshama is going nuts. And I'm like, is this over yet? You know, how much longer is this? What's going to be? Or I'm just totally distracted. So the neshama has all of this simcha, and I'm like, blah. Why? Because we're misaligned. Because we're misaligned. Because if I'm not present in the circumstance, then by definition, I can't feel what the soul is trying to transmit. And therefore, I will say, this is why we miss out. You know, he started off talking about the feelings of pain of the neshama. But this is why we also miss out on the simcha. Right? We miss out. I will say, this is the most incredible thing. We miss out on the joy and the simple things of Yiddishkeit because we're not aligned with our souls. And we're not aligned with our neshamas because we're often just not fully present in what it is that we're doing. But if we were to go ahead, you know, say I was away this week, and I was davening shacharis. I went to a shul, and I left my phone in the car. So both say, you know that feeling when you leave your phone somewhere? Like phantom limb syndrome, right? You know, like you're like, oh my gosh, like what if somebody needs me? Like, okay, like, you know, again, even the president plays golf. I'm just saying, like, I don't think he has a cell phone on him. He might actually have his cell phone on him. He might be tweeting, right? Right, but let me say, I'm just saying, and then I realized, I have to tell you something. I was very proud of myself because I was literally right about, I'm like, I'm just going to go out and grab my phone. I'm like, no. And I want to tell you something amazing. I left Shacharis. My family was still intact, right? Right? My parnosa was still there, right? And the world was still spinning. So Shmuel Silber demonstrated to himself that he was able to exist without his phone for 45 minutes. I will say, why is it so difficult to go through a shiur, to go through a tefillah without checking our phones? And again, this is not a technology thing. This is just understand, if you're distracted, don't expect to find the joy in the daily activities of Yiddish living. Don't expect to find it, because you won't. Because the neshama is like, this is great, but I'm in a totally different place. So we'll have to stop over here for tonight. But just understand what the Rebbe is highlighting for us. See, I both say, you can keep it. Right? But just understand what the Rebbe is highlighting for us. And this is the point of thinking, because we are so conditioned to thinking that if we want to address that which is broken, okay, start with your sins, tackle your sins. So first of all, sometimes I don't want to tackle my sins because I'm not ready to do that. But it's not even the right approach. First, get in touch with your neshama. And the first step to getting in touch is just try to be present. Because if you're present, then you're going to be on the same wavelength as the neshama. And where the neshama has joy, you're going to feel that joy also. And where the neshama has pain, you're going to feel that pain also. But then when you feel the pain, you're going to know where it's going to coming from. And you're going to know how to treat it. Instead of trying to NyQuil it, yeah, that's a verb now. Instead of trying to NyQuil it, right, with all the wrong things. Be present. Be in touch with yourself. Align yourself with your neshama. And I can't say, of course, all of this, putting us down the road to experiencing true and beautiful holy emotion. I have to stop over here for tonight. Shkoyach. Myriv in the base medrash.
Everyone can help clean up. I'm
going to
go grab a big garbage can.
Are they illegal?
Steve, I think there's one. Is there one? I saw John Gordon garbage cans. Oh, no, right here. Right there.
It's a small one.
Oh, you want a big one?
Shkoyach.
Incredible, no?